This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need. From athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence. Helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Country boy. Yeah, I get up before the rooster. Put on my camo. Load up my bow and my rifle and stock the ammo. I'm a bullet with the bullet, but I'm lethal with the arrow. Always down for the hunt. Dub turkey and big bucks. Hit the woods and get fitted up. Mossy oak all across my fit. Don't be surprised. We do this too.
I get up before the sun with my 30 at 6. Yeah. All body on, I ain't worried about the kick. Yeah. We do this too.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of We Do This Too Outdoors Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williamson. I've got a special guest today on, CEO, owner of Yeah You Outdoors, Mr. Tony Robichaud. How you doing, brother?
Doing awesome, man. How are you?
Good, man. Good. So, good. Been following your stuff on Instagram for a little bit, man. Love what you're doing with the outdoors. Love what you're doing with your brand. So how'd you get introduced to the outdoors, brother?
Man, growing up in the South, I mean, it's all we know. So our lifestyle revolves around food, drinking, unfortunately, which 15 years old, I'm proud of that. And you know, outdoors, man, I mean, just grew up, dad, uncles, small game hunting, rabbits, coons, squirrels, things like that. Just fell in love with it from a young age, man. Just been ate up with it ever since, you know.
That's what's up, man. Congrats on being sober, man. Me myself, I went to AA as well a few years back in about 2008, 2009. So I understand that journey. Congratulations awesome. On that, man. And
thank you, brother.
Appreciate it, man. I still have a little drink every now and then, you know, on like Halloween, Christmas, stuff like that with the family, but it ain't nearly as bad as it used to be. That's for sure.
I hear that.
So, yeah, you outdoors, man. I love what you're doing with that, man. I see you do a lot of gator hunting stuff that I want to do, man. In Louisiana are you?
I am in Cecilia, Louisiana. Not many people know it. We're probably 20 minutes outside of Lafayette, kind of in between Lafayette and Baton Rouge, the Atchafalaya Basin. Majority of the gator hunting's done in Henderson, in the Atchafalaya Basin, man. It's a great time, dude. Like I said, next September, load up the truck and come meet us, brother. We'll put you on.
I'm down, man. I've been. I was talking to Rick last time I talked to him. It was a while back, but I was like, man, I gotta get down to Louisiana. I said I need to hunt some gators, man. I got hooked on that. I think everybody got hooked on when Swamp People came out.
Yeah.
And man, I was watching, you know, Troy and all his boys and all them guys on there. I said, man, I want to go do it. My wife's like, you want to go hunt gators? I said, yeah. I said, that look fun.
Yeah, dude, it's a rush like you've never seen before, man. I mean, you're 2 feet away from a prehistoric animal that could eat you alive, bro. It's a pretty good time. It's a pretty good time.
That's cool, man. So, yeah, you outdoors, man. How'd that name come about? And then what's next for y'all?
Man, so, yeah, you outdoors probably started in the restaurant business. I'm a chef by trade. I've ran restaurants and kitchens since I was, you know, 18, 19 years old. And it was just something one of my partners would say. We'd be in the kitchen, we'd be cooking, something would come up good, and you'd be like, yeah, you. And we just started saying it, man. And we, every time we'd hunt and we'd do something good or we'd catch a big fish, we'd holler, yeah, you. And my cousin Joshua Mouton, who's also in here with me, we picked it up and we just started hollering it, and people just said, man, y'all should do something. I'm like, man, I would like to. Been down that road. I've got a wife, kids. It's just kind of just not something I don't know we should get into right now, because me and my wife have been married 3 years, wanted to start a family. We just had a little boy. He'll be 9 months old in a few days.
Congrats. And, congrats.
Thank you, man. I've got my daughters, one 18, one 16, and a 9-month-old. So kind of started from scratch, but man, I wouldn't give it up for the world, man. That kid's already trying to blow a duck call at 8 months old, dude. It's impressive. So we went to an outdoor show in Baton Rouge, the Delta Waterfowl Convention, and my wife was walking around and she was like, she was ate up with it, and she kind of pressured me into getting this thing going. So I was like, you gotta understand, if we do this, gonna take a lot of time, a lot of hard work. And she said, no, I really think you should. And you've got the support of, you know, we've got Joshua Mouton, Jalen Pinion, and Travis Babin all in the group with me. And he said, you know, just get it done. So we started, and here we are. Yeah, you outdoors. And man, our goal for us is kind of like we were speaking about earlier, like the Cajun and the Creole heritage. Not many people know what we do or what we're capable of. They've only ever seen Swamp People, you know, things like that. You know, we're so much more than that. You know, yeah, we hunt gators, we hunt coons, small games, but I think here in Southwest Louisiana, we're doing this thing at a different level, you know, with the food. And that's kind of what we want to focus on is, you know, hunting and fishing and then the food, getting our recipes out there, our Creole heritage out there, because you don't see a lot of it, you know. And people need to know who we are, because our culture is dying slowly but surely. You know, I don't speak French, but we've got a huge Cajun Creole French following in the South, especially if you come down, you'll meet Jordan Thibodeau, a couple of those guys that they speak fluent Cajun French. And I mean, that's an art, man. And it's dying. And we need to bring that back, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, like when I was watching Swamp People, you know, when it first came on, you know, everybody was kind of taken by storm by that. But I was looking at it in a different aspect. I think it was maybe season 3 or 4. You didn't see anybody of color till about season 3 or 4. And I think it was a guy, and I think his 2 sons were on there. And then I think a little later in season 5 or season 6, there was another 2 guys on there with his sons. But like I said, man, like It's 9 down there. It's 9 here, I feel like, man.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need to get more people like you, more people like Rick, 24/7, Jim Caesar, man, all y'all boys in Louisiana, because there's a lot of heritage down there. It's more than just food down there. I mean, I love y'all's food down there. Don't get me wrong. Every time I come to New Orleans, I got to load up.
I got to stop you guys. 337 and 504. New Orleans can't compete with what we're doing out here in Lafayette. I'm gonna get a bunch of flag for it. But Brick, if you want real South Louisiana food, you come to the 337, brother.
Come to the 337. All right, my bad, dog.
It's good, though. You're entitled to your own opinion. I'm just letting you know. You know,
I ain't never been. I don't think I've ever been to Lafayette, man. I can't say that. I've been to Monroe. I've been to New Orleans, and I've been to Baton Rouge. I think it was the only three times I've been to. And it was, I've been to Grambling. I've been down there.
Yeah. You're getting closer. Yeah. I'm telling you, September in Louisiana is probably my favorite time of the year. Gator hunting and teal season.
Oh, yeah.
Come meet us in September next year, and we'll show you.
Yeah, I run with about a three to four man crew most days. I got my cousin Kenny, my buddy Josh, and my buddy Lance usually rides with us some, you know. So it'll be probably four of us to come down. If not, I'll be by myself, but we'll make it work.
The more the merrier, bro. We got room. I promise you.
That's what's up, man. How'd you get introduced to Rick?
I met Ricky some 10, 11 years ago at a wild game cookout at Family Life Church in Lafayette. It's a men's supper. They get a bunch of groups. They come in, they cook a bunch of wild game, and it's just fellowship and good time. And Ricky was working a booth with Blood Deep. And again, there wasn't many of us there. So started talking to him, and we hit it off. And I mean, we've been real close ever since. You know, did some Blood Deep stuff with him. You know, actually went on a hunt for teal season with Jules Broussard and Conrad Lyons, two of the original members of Blood Deep. We all stay in touch, and it's a solid, solid group of guys, man. We just learn a lot from each other, man.
Yeah, yeah. Rick's a good dude, man. Shout out to him, 247 Hunt, man. They're good dudes, man. I went on their dove hunt a couple years back. I've been twice now. I didn't get to go this year, but first time I met Rick, man, I felt like I'd known him for 20 years, man. He just down to earth, brother, and proud of what he's doing. I hope he keeps it up, man. That's for sure.
Yeah, man. Rick's one of those guys where, I mean, if you know him, you know him. I mean, he's as solid as they come.
Yeah, Rick's a dude, man. And Jim Caesar too. Y'all think you're good friends? I seen something on Instagram.
Oh yeah, me and Jim are tight. I was with Jim last weekend. We're actually planning a squirrel hunt. Hopefully, get to do it tomorrow. I'm not sure when, but met same path. Met Jim through Ricky all those years ago. We've been close ever since. You know,
that's what's up.
Jim's doing some good stuff out there. I mean, his music is, he's probably making some of the best music for our culture out there.
Yeah,
you know,
he stays in the rotation in my truck, man, in my pod. You know, so I'd love to get him on the show. I sent him a message a while back, man, but I know he stays busy and probably didn't see it or whatever on Instagram. So, I'd love to get him on here, man. But you know,
I'll give him a shot. I mean, he's like I said, like you said, he's busy, man. I will see him, but it's like, phew, he's always just, you see him for a few seconds and he's running. Always got a camera in his hand. You know, it's busy dude.
Yeah, I just love, you know, his music for one, man, and the love he has for our Lord and Savior, man. He's putting that out there, along with his music, along with the culture, how he grew up, and he's putting that in his music, and I love it, man.
Yeah, you have to, because that's just like the culture, man. It's a dying thing, and people are afraid to put that out there, you know, that they love the Lord and this and that. You know, you can't be ashamed. Me personally, I listen to K-Love. Mm-hmm. If you in my truck, we listen. And if we get up at 3 a.m, we're going to jam K-Love from 3 till 10 o'clock. That's the cutoff. And, yeah, you know, it's, it, man, it, it, it relaxes you. It puts you in a better space for the day. It gets you ready, you know. So you just
you got to
give it up to him, you know.
Yeah, man. He's allowed us to do what we do, man. And you know, as much as our people's been through the years, man, he's got us this far, and he's gonna keep going, man. So all we got to do is just keep giving him praise, man, and he'll do the rest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So as an African American hunter, man, fisherman, outdoorsman down there, Louisiana, man. So I was talking to a guy, a buddy of mine, and he's a white guy, and he said, man, when I look on TV, I don't see a lot of African Americans or people of color on TV. He said, I feel like they're missing the side of the outdoor industry that could really, it's a different side that, you know, we could show them. So how do you think that we can break through to some of these bigger name brands and corporations about getting our name more out there?
I think we just have to be true to ourselves, man, and who we are. You know, you see a lot of people and you talk to a lot of people, and they're trying to be somebody they're not, just to be able to get on TV and do things like that. There's so much of that stuff that's already out there. Why not be yourself? Why not be who you are? What, you know, I'm not going to make a hunting video better than any hunting video that's already out there. I need to be able to sell myself. People want to see you. They want to see your personality. They want to see that you're working hard, you know, because, I mean, there's a million videos on the internet of people killing monster deer. I can go kill a monster deer tomorrow and it'll go around for a few days and then that'll be it. But mm-hmm. my personality, nobody's going to match my personality. Nobody's going to match your personality, what you're doing, you know, what you bring. That, you know, I can hear your kids in the background. Nobody's going to match that. You know, like you said, you know, your kids is the biggest thing you've ever done, your greatest accomplishment. You know, mine too. And that's another reason I'm doing it, is for, you know, my youngest daughter likes to hunt. My oldest daughter, she could care less where her food comes from. You know, now the little boy, I mean, this is, you know, I want to leave a legacy for my son, for my daughters. And that's what this is, so that, you know, he could have doors open for him that I didn't have for me, that your kids didn't have for them, that my daughters didn't have. And that's what, you know, if we focus on family and put family first and do this for the right reasons, we're going to be successful. Whether we get a major television deal or we get as big as 247 or not even. But as long as we put something out there that we can be proud of and our family can be proud of, I think we'd be successful.
I love it, man. Yeah, I got, like I said, like I told you, man, my son is my greatest accomplishment, man. He's 7 years old and he's ate up with the outdoors. He loves it, man. And he finally told me he was real ate up with it last year a little bit, but I get up real early. And by the time I'm up, you know, he's still asleep. Try to wake him up. He's like, nah, daddy, I ain't going. But this year he's like, daddy, how big of a deer am I going to kill? And I said, well, I said, it all depends, buddy. I said, sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes, you know, you don't. I said, but you can't get frustrated when you're out there. I said, you know, killing's not the only part of hunting. I said, it's the all the memories leading up to it, you know, all the preparation that you got to do. So he's like, well, daddy, I'm ready. So I said, okay. I said, we've been out shooting his bow, getting him ready. But I want to leave a legacy to my son too, man. He's following daddy around everywhere. He wants to do everything his dad does, just like I wanted to do everything my dad did.
Yeah.
And my biggest goal for my brand, man, like, I want to go into a lot of these inner cities, get some of these at-risk people of color kids, man, and bring them, bus them into Kentucky, bus them in somewhere. It doesn't matter where. Just teach them how to hunt, teach them how to shoot a bow, teach them how to fish, teach them hunter safes, teach them something that can possibly save their life, keep them off the streets. That's my main goal.
You know John Anani?
I don't.
Okay. He's a good friend of ours. We met him through Rick and Blood Deep. He's got a mentorship in New York up there. You should get in touch with him. If that's what you're looking to do, he's the man to talk to. Okay. So I'll get you his contact information. If that's what you're looking to do, man, he's the man. He's an educator, 30 plus years, and that's what he did, you know.
Yeah.
And man, just for your son, man, just like what I'm gonna teach my kids and what I teach my daughter, is just try to learn something new every time you walk out the house, mm-hmm. whether it's at your job or especially hunting. You know, I made a little squirrel hunt this morning, and the woods I normally hunt, they decided to go through with a bulldozer and just kind of tore it up. So I didn't know what I was walking into, and I killed a few, but I learned a lot, you know. And tomorrow morning it's gonna be on, you know. But just, you know, you gotta learn something every time you walk out the house, whether it's hunting, fishing, or just life, you know. Just come back better, you know.
Right.
That's what I want. That's my goal, to teach my son. That's gonna be the first lesson he learns about this. And at 7 years old, shoot the first deer that walks out, dude.
Yeah, that's what I told him.
It's just shoot it, bro.
That's what I told him. I said, the first thing that walks out, man, I said, let's just pop him, and we'll teach you how to skin it. You know, I said, you know, I eat everything that I shoot, whether it's, you know, teal, you know, green wing, blue wing, mallard, goose, whatever, deer. Deer's probably my favorite, but I got a freezer full of stuff right now, man. I like to cook and eat them. My wife won't touch it. She hates wild game. She don't like the taste of it. And I was like, but my son loves it. So I was like, it's more for me and him. So
yeah, my wife's the same way. She'll eat a little bit of it, but not too much.
You know. Yeah, man. So the gator hunting, man, how's this gonna go? Like, is it like you see on TV, or is it completely different?
I guess it depends on what you're doing. I mean, line hunting, you know, you set a bunch of lines and the gator swallow and you kind of pull, but man, I mean, you see those guys tugging, and that's all for sure. If you gentle with a gator and it's on a hook and you pull it up slow, it'll come to the surface. Now, treble hooking and actually hunting them, that's a different story. You know, that's fun, where you'll see them, you follow the bubbles and you throw the hook over the bubbles. Mm-hmm. That's where it's at. I mean, that's, you're actually hunting. You know, that's a game changer.
Yeah, it's pretty. So what do y'all do the most of them? Treble hooks, or y'all set lines up?
Well, it depends. So my buddy Scott LaGrange, she has a business called Cajun Outfitters LLC, and he sells gator hunts, and we'll sell line hunts and trophy hunts. So it's probably a 70-30% mix of line and trophy hunts. You know, but I mean, my favorite is all the trophy hunts. But the thing about the line hunts, you never know what you're gonna get. You know, you right. might get a 5 foot gator. And we had some young ladies 3 weeks ago that she caught a 12-foot 7-inch gator on a line hunt.
Oh man,
that's a trophy. You know what I mean? That thing was huge, but that'll probably one of the biggest gators to come out of Henderson in a long time. You know, yeah, and that was just on a line. You know.
That's a big gator, man. What's the biggest one you ever caught?
Biggest one we caught, we put in my boat last year on it was 12'3". That was actually my first time doing it. And the guy we took, he looked, how long you been doing this? And I put my head down. I didn't answer. I didn't want to say my first time. You know, so I didn't actually grow up gator hunting. It's just, you know, just you meet people and they get to know you. And, you know, because I didn't grow up hunting ducks and deer and things like that. You know, I didn't probably kill my first duck till I was 25, 26 years old. Just wasn't something, you know, my dad did, you know, just, and that's just from meeting people and kind of getting invited and, you know, shot that first wood duck. And I've been messed up ever since, you know.
I heard you. Yeah. So my dad, he grew up in a little cotton town outside of Memphis, Tennessee. So he grew up hunting like rabbits and squirrel, you know, small game, dove, quail, stuff like that. So I had to teach myself pretty much how to deer hunt. So I grew up rabbit hunting, doing everything Dad did. And I came home one day and I said, "Dad, I want to start deer hunting." And he said, "Well, you better find somebody because I don't know nothing about it." So I found a buddy of mine that lived in the same town that I was going to college. Shout out to Clay Kirby, man, because he taught me how to shoot a bow in about 20 minutes outside his house. And got hooked and killed my first buck with a bow, a little small buck. And I killed a doe first, then I killed that buck, man. Then I got hooked. Well, fast forward, I didn't kill my first duck till 3 years ago. It's back here on the wall, right here behind me, my first mallet.
All right. There you go.
My first one. And I had him mounted, man, but I think I've told this story 1,000 times, but I don't know if you've heard it or not, man. My buddy Lance, he's from Western Kentucky here in Ballot County. It's right on the Mississippi Flyway. It's where the Ohio River and the Mississippi River meet here in Kentucky. And he said, "Man, let's go duck hunting." I said, "Man, I ain't trying to hunt no ducks. It's too cold. I'm in water. I can't swim." So I got me some waders, and we're going through, you know, hitting everything in this boat. I'm sitting in the middle of the boat because I'm scared to death. It's dark. I can't see nothing. He's like, "Hey, we're getting out right here." I said, "What do you mean we're getting out right here? This is water." He's like, "Yeah, we're going to stand by this tree." I said, "We standing up hunting in the water?" I was like, "Man." So they put the decoys out. Once they cut their boat off of them lights, it's pitch black dark. And I'm, dude, I tell you, I'm scared to death. I was scared to death out there, man. Then finally, the light came. Them ducks started flying in. And we started popping them. And from that moment on, when that first group came in, I said, "I'm hooked." I said, "Sign me up." I was hooked after that, man. So I've been, been doing it ever since, man. Still learning a lot. You know, I can't blow a duck call worth a damn still, but I got one here, like a custom made one, a buddy made me, man. It's got my logo and stuff on it, but been playing around with this. I can blow a goose call a lot better than I can blow that duck call. But
man, I tell you, and I'm not a big duck hunter. I'm ate up with deer, and bow fishing is my thing. Deer hunting and bow fishing. If I could only do two things the rest of my life, deer hunting, bow fish.
That's what's up.
I just find, man, and I can't blow a duck call to save my life. I can blow it enough. But man, being where they want to be, being on the X's, it's half the battle, man. Mm-hmm. You know, if you where they want to be, they coming. You don't have to right. You don't have to be a great caller. And you know, you got these people and all these competition calls, and just, man, just a lot of times, just soft and easy wins the race, you know?
That's right. Yeah, I've never been bow fishing, man. That's on my list as well. Me and the crew, I think we're going to end up getting a boat here in the next year or so and rigging it up, you know, duck hunting and bow fishing, but I've never been. But it's definitely on the list, man.
Man, that, again, if y'all want to take a trip, we set up, dude. We kill redfish like there's no tomorrow. I don't know that y'all can kill them, but like you can bow fish redfish in the state of Louisiana. And we'll go out shoot 20, 30 fish a night. You know, yeah, redfish, sheephead, big garfish, you know, it's a blast, dude. It's because you can relax, you can cut up, play music, you're constantly moving, so it's not hot. You don't have to worry about the bugs. It's just the 2.5 hour drive home is the hardest part.
Right. Yeah.
But other than that, man, it's most fun you can have on the water legally.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You got any stories or any memorable hunts that you like to keep telling people? Whether it's bow fishing, deer, duck, what you got?
Man, I don't know. I guess like they're all memorable, man. I think my most memorable hunt was when my daughter killed her first deer. It was a spike. We get to the camp and I had her a little 300 blackout, had it in a vise, and this thing was just all over the place, and I just couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. We just couldn't get this thing sighted in. So I've got a Browning 270 short mag, and my daughter's 16 right now, and she probably weighs 100 pounds. I mean, she was probably 10 years old, 50, 60 pounds, and I'm like, man, what are we going to do? So I put her behind that 270, and she could barely get behind, and she shot. She had bullseyed 100 yards. I was like, oh, it's on now. We're going to give them trouble. We're going to find out. And I got a little stand on the corner of the property where, you know, the does come out pretty regularly. Pretty good. A couple of good bucks, but I knew she was going to get an opportunity. So we in a single ladder stand, and I've got her sitting on my lap. And so we got dogs barking, running around out because there's a house right off the property. And I don't know what this man did to his wife, but she was not having it. She was not happy with him. She fought that man all afternoon. And I could see my daughter getting discouraged. And I was like, just don't worry. It's coming. It's going to happen. I promise you. Because, I mean, with kids that young, man, it's you bring them fishing, the fish not bite, and they get bored. They don't want to do it. So, and especially where we hunt, we don't see a whole bunch of deer. So you got to make those hunts count, especially when they're that small, to keep them interested.
Right.
And sure enough, about 40 minutes, about 4:30, 5 o'clock, we had been in the stand for like 2 hours. Sure enough, doe comes out, and she gets behind the gun. I'm like, whenever you're ready. And she shoots. And, I mean, she just dropped this thing in its tracks. And we both went to screaming and crying in the stand, bro. It was the best feeling I've ever had as a hunter. Just because, again, without these kids, man, and what we doing is it's going to die, you know. And they've got so many distractions out there, from TVs to telephones to computers to, you know, all this other stuff, that it's hard keeping them active in the outdoors when they're so easily distracted with everything that's going on in the world. And just to see that, and then she was hooked, you know. And then the following year, he said, I want to kill one with a bow. I said, okay, I'm going to buy you a bow. You can draw 30 pounds, because you have to 30 pounds legally, you can hunt. So gave her a crossbow. She took another buck with her crossbow. And then last year, got her a bow. And she started shooting it. And we went out, and we had two encounters. First encounter was my fault. The chair was too low, and I think the arrow came out and hit a branch, and she made a bad shot. And she hadn't gotten one with her bull yet, but she's still on it, dude. So that's a huge accomplishment for me and for her, especially raising two daughters, to have one that's that ate up with it.
Yeah. That's dope, man. That's a heck of a story, man. It's always good, man, when your babies, you know, go out and harvest something or do something like that. Like my son, it was a few years back, man. I had just bought him his crossbow before I bought him a compound, man. And we were out shooting in the yard, and had him set up at like 20 yards, man. He's nailing this bullseye. Well, I moved him back to like 50, and I told him where to hit, you know, where to set his scope. And he hit that 50 yards, and he jumped up. Daddy, I did it. And I was like, yeah, bud. And I damn near brought tears to my eyes just to see how excited he was, you know.
And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I did it. Good job, Dad.
Man. So make you feel good, man. That's for sure.
And that's the thing, man. And my youngest, Brianne, we've got a lab, Cruz, and, you know, she runs him. She works him, you know, and it makes you feel good to see it in action, bro. So you know your hard work's paying off.
Yeah. So y'all got a lab too, huh?
Oh man, I have all kind of animals. I've got a Catahoula that tracks deer, a black lab when we duck hunt, and a mountain cur. Blue tracks deer, and he started treeing squirrels this summer, so.
I was about to say, you better get him out in them squirrel woods with you.
Oh, yeah. He started treeing squirrels. So I'm not a houndsman. I want to be so bad. that's the next step. You know, those dogs, working those dogs. Man, I love watching a good dog work, especially a tracking deer. I love being behind a good deer hound. That's some of the most fun you can have in the woods. You're just putting smiles on people's faces when you find that animal that they thought they had wounded or they thought they missed, man. It's a really good feeling.
Yeah, so, we got a chocolate lab. He's older, but he'll go get a duck. He'll go get a dove, but he won't let go of it. He thinks it's a toy. And we got six beagles that we take. They're all red ticks, or actually they're all blue ticks. We take them rabbit hunting with us. And then my cousin Kenny just got two labs that he's training. So we got some dog. Hopefully we'll have two good dogs. Cause my dog Diesel, man, he's older. He's hard headed. He's hard to sit still in the woods. I was gonna have him as mainly my duck dog and my bird dog, but my wife got a hold of him and turned him into a house dog, and it's just
that's what happened to Blue. My wife got a hold of him and just ruined him. But I would like to get a couple of beagles because we love rabbit hunting, but I don't know that I'd be allowed to come home because we've already got four dogs. If I came home with some more, she might put me out. But it's nothing like being behind a good pack of hounds, bro.
Just keep them at somebody else's. That's what I do. I keep mine at my mom's house. Yeah.
Yeah, that might work. I have to talk daddy into doing it, you know.
Yeah, we got some kennels for them, man. We go out there and clean them kennels about every day and feed them. And, you know, we'll get them out and run them during the off season because rabbit season comes in, I think, the first week of November here in Kentucky. I think it's already in. Yeah, it's that late. Because I think it's already in everywhere else.
Yeah, we first Saturday in October in Louisiana, small game opens.
Yeah. So today, we got to wait. And then it goes out, I think, November, the second week of November, because that's when gun season starts. So those 2 weeks that gun season is in, you can't hunt rabbits until it goes back out, because I guess they don't want people in the woods hunting rabbits with people with high-powered rifles in the woods, which I don't blame them. But, yeah, it comes in super late here because I got some buddies in Alabama that's already down there hunting them already.
Yeah. I mean, they get worms in them this early in the season, so it's not really a good thing to hunt them until after that first hard freeze. But, but for us, we might not get a freeze till stinking January.
Yeah, right.
You know, it is what it is. But
yeah, cut that word usually off. By Halloween up here, we usually have at least one hard frost, and then after Halloween, man, it's on because usually it's getting cold or it's already cold. So
yeah,
we ain't got to worry about that.
So how many days a year you typically get to be out in the woods? I know you're a family man like the rest of us.
Man, so once, like me personally, I don't really start getting in the woods until it starts getting cold. Like our early wood duck hunt, our early goose hunt, but then I really don't start getting in the deer woods until that first cold front hits, simply because the farm I hunt really doesn't start showing big deer until around October 31st, which is Halloween, right after that. Now, if somebody else wants to go, you know, I'll take them. Like my son, you know, I'm about to take him probably in a week or so. But me personally, I usually don't get out till then because my farm, it's my farm that I grew up on. It's typically been traditionally an afternoon spot when the deer are going back to bed. So that's when I like to hunt them out there. Mornings haven't traditionally been that good. So, but anytime I get a chance to get out there, man, which right now my son's playing football, so every Saturday. So it's hard for me to get out there. So I get out there usually during the week after work, man, and, you know, put my time in there and get my feeders right, make sure I got batteries in my trail cameras and everything like that. But I try to build up brownie points in the off season, so when hunting season comes, I can get away a little more, man. But you know, family will always come first with me. make sure my family's taken care of and everything, and then, you know, get out in the woods after that.
And, you know, for us, that's, man, a lot. So we've got property in Leesville, in Louisiana, and property in Mississippi. So it's, we work year-round, and it's, you know, it's, you work hard all summer to be able to enjoy the wintertime. So it's, we're either in Leesville working or in Mississippi working, and then try to fish in between. But I'm 5 minutes from the basin, so we fish a lot. But man, I'm trying to get after them every weekend if I can. I'm trying to hunt something. We start in September, and we go through the end of February here. So with that place in Leesville, we get our rut's about to, our rut's gonna start like next week in Leesville, and then back home where we're at, it's a later rut, so it's kind of in January, and then Mississippi is kind of in November. So
we've got ourselves
positioned to where we can hunt the rut almost all stinking long, all hunting season. So we put a lot of time in the woods. Luckily for us, the place we have in Mississippi, the camp is real nice and the family can come. So, you know, they just tag along. So we just bring them with us. Now, you know, place in Leesville, my wife and my little, they're not staying in that camper. You know, so they ain't staying in that camper, but they'll come to Mississippi, especially with my daughters. We had Wi-Fi in Mississippi, so it's a lot easier to get them to come. Yeah. They can do what they need to do, you know.
Yeah, but they got to have that Wi-Fi, man.
You got to have that Wi-Fi, bro, because they didn't come until we got Wi-Fi. It was like, nah, daddy, we not coming. You know, but we get after it pretty hard, man. Looking forward to spending 10 days in Illinois again this year, which is, we're hunting some public land up there. We hunted it last year. We didn't kill a whole bunch of bugs, but we found them. We got a pretty good lay of the land, so it should be good this year.
That's what's looking up. Yeah, that. My cousin, he just got, we got two draws here in Campbellsville, Kentucky, and then we got one to hunt Green River, which is right up the road from us, and then there's another one down to hunt Barron River. So we got drawn to hunt both those for duck hunting. So we got to go pretty much start next week, start getting our duck blinds and stuff set up for that. And then, you know, like early season, we always hunt dove opening day. That's like our thing. And then, like I said, we'll hunt early goose, early wood duck, early teal. And then I'll wait for a little bit until that first front comes in, hunt deer. And then once deer season ends, man, I'm either hunting ducks or I'm hunting coyotes. Like, we have a big coyote population here, and they're everywhere. And we own livestock, so we try to take care of as many of them coyotes as we can.
Yeah.
It's fun. And got some buddies that got the thermal stuff. That's
something I've never done.
It's fun, man. Especially when you get on them, you know, when you can call them to you. I don't have a thermal scope. I've got a night vision, but I got buddies that's got the night stuff. So I can sit there and watch on their phone what they're looking at, whatever. It's pretty dope. But some of them setups that they got, they get up there 6,000-7,000, a little more.
Just for the scope.
Just for the scope.
Yeah. You know,
I got a few guns I can put them on, man, but I cannot see myself spending that much money on no scope. Like, I just can't do it.
No, I hear you. I've got a couple of buddies with some too, and I'm the same way. It's just, man, $6,000 school for bringing a dog home. It might be out the house, you know?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, man, a couple more questions, man. I ain't gonna keep you on here all day, man. I do appreciate you taking the time out, man. I've been wanting to get you on for a little bit, man.
I appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, man. So, hypothetical question, man. So you got a little kid, person of color that comes from an inner city. He's getting in a lot of trouble. He's looking for a mentor, basically, to get into the outdoor world. But he's scared because every time he turns on the TV, he doesn't see anybody that looks like him. And everybody around him is telling him, you know, he's going to fail. You know, this sport's not meant for us. What advice would you give him?
Man, first and foremost, man, if it's something you want to do, you got to get out there and do it. There's a ton of information out there. I hunt year round. I would tell them to do the same thing. You've got to do it year round. Podcasts, YouTube videos. There's a lot of fluff out there. So there's a lot of podcasts you can listen to. And these guys are just kind of boosting their egos and you don't get a lot of information. But if you know where to look, there's a lot of great information out there. I would start with that, man. Like just study, because unfortunately it's and people might not want to hear it, but it's our people that keep us down more than anybody else. I get flack more from my people than anybody else, you know. Yep, and they don't, oh, you know, you think you white, you think you this, you think you that. Like, you can't listen to none of that. If you want to do it, you got to be better than everybody else. So you have to study. You got to do your homework. You got to get your boots dirty. You know, whether you have a gun in your hand or not, you got to get out there and surround yourself with people, like-minded people, but people that you think are better than you. Because if you surround yourself with, if I want to hunt every day and I surround myself with people that want to drink every day, guess what? I'm not going hunting.
Right.
But if I surround myself with people that have the same goals, or their goals or what I want my goals to be, they're going to push me to do better. So, you know, man, and people I find in this industry, people that, not necessarily this industry, but people that hunt, they want to teach you how to hunt.
Mm-hmm. They want you to tag along. Absolutely.
You know, so you can't be afraid to approach somebody, even if you're at Walmart and you approach somebody in the hunting section, and, you know, people genuinely want to see you do well. And there's going to be a handful of people that don't, but you're going to find that person that wants to teach you. Like you, my parents, we never deer hunted. You know, I met a guy, Mike Kidder, working at a restaurant. And Mike was a good friend of mine. Mike passed away a few years ago. But, man, this man took me under his wing. He was my manager. This man took me under his wing and put me on. I killed my first buck with him. It was an 8-point. That was a good story too. So we muzzled hunting with muzzle loader. So now you can hunt with a 35 Whale and a 45-70 straight wall, but an old school muzzle loader. Mm-hmm. So buck walks out and I shoot, just smoke fills the air. And I'm like, crap, I stinking missed this deer at 40 yards. How'd I do that? Sure enough, I missed it. So come back the next day, deer walks out. Same deer, almost in the exact same place. I shoot again. All you could see was smoke. Didn't know what happened, but I heard him crash. And I can promise you, as excited as I was when my daughter killed her first deer, that man and that group of hunters I was with, it was all white guys, was just excited for me that I killed that little 8-point as I was for my daughter when she killed her buck.
Right.
And, you know, and people genuinely want to see you do well. Just hang out, Walmart, you know, sporting goods stores, online, you know. You reached out to me. I couldn't tell you how many people I've reached out to and made a lasting friendship. When we first got our lease in Leesville, I reached out to a guy named Randy Pollard because he was from there, and I saw he was killing deer there. Me and Randy's been best friends for 8 years. You know, little red man. You know, you look at this man and you'd never know. But if you don't make those connections, if you don't try to talk to people, you'll never know what kind of friendship you could have and what kind of mentorship. You know, there's so much information out there. You just have to put those stereotypes down and be vulnerable and approach people. You know, and I can promise you, there's going to be 8 out of 10 people out there that's going to be willing to help. You know, heck, call me. I love to put people on animals, whether it's deer, ducks, bow fishing, whatever. And I'm not the best hunter in the world, but I'm gonna work harder than anybody, you know, especially if you trust me to do that for you.
Right. You know?
So you just gotta be vulnerable, man, and try to make those connections, and it's gonna happen. And just have to work hard and don't get caught up with Sitka this and Sitka that and you know, everything people's wearing, because I have Sitka, I wear it. But when I started out, you know, buy what you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it works the same way. You know, the first rifle I could ever afford, I still shoot deer with it to this day. The only I bought a rifle years ago, and you know, I bought a used rifle, and I'm still killing deer with it to this day.
Yeah.
You know, just get what you can afford. Just be out there, mm-hmm. be present. You know, and then once you get to that level, take somebody, show yeah. somebody what you've learned.
Bring somebody with you.
Bring somebody with you, man. I've got three kids on my list right now that I'm gonna do everything in my power to put them in front of a deer starting Saturday. You know, I can kill all the deer I want. You know, I shot a doe 2 days ago, you know. So next weekend it's primitive weapon in area 3. My little cousin, he approached me last year. He said, cuz, I want to go hunting. I said, well, get your license, take the hunter safety course, and we'll make it happen. So this summer, he did everything. He did all his prep work. So we're gonna go after this weekend. I won't even bring a gun. You know, it'll be all about him.
That's and, dope.
You know, he was afraid because, in the city, you know, he was afraid to ask somebody for that. You know, he came up, he was let, you know, let himself be vulnerable. He asked the information and he got it, you know, and it's mm-hmm. just doing that, you know.
Yeah.
And if anybody out there listening in my area, any area, call, bro. We'll make it happen, dude.
Yeah, I had a kid reach out to me. Well, I was saying he's a kid, but he's in his 20s. He'd been listening to my podcast and stuff like that. Well,
you're almost as old as me, so he's 20 years old. I just turned 45. You?
I'm 40. I'm almost 40.
As a kid.
Yeah. So you got about 5 years on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I think he's in his early 20s, man. He's like 22, 23. But I end up seeing him because he said he seen my truck, and I got my logo on my truck. And I'm in the grocery store, man. He approaches me, and his mom's with him. He said his mom actually was the first one to come up to him. She's like, my son wants to talk to you. He's like, you're the guy from We Do This Too. I said, yeah. I said, where's your son? So he comes up, tall guy, man. He's about 6'5". And he said, hey, man, he said, I've never been hunting. He said, but I love your podcast. He said, I seen your truck outside. I thought it was you. I said, it's me, man. And took exchange information. So his first hunt that he wants to go on is a rabbit hunt. So I said, man, you know, the comes in November 1st. I said, I'm going. I said, I'll come pick you up. You can meet me or whatever. And his mom was like, he was scared to come talk to you, you know, because he was scared that you were going to reject him or whatever. I was like, ma'am, I said, I ain't like that. I said, if a kid or whoever has enough balls to come approach me or whatever, I said, I'm a real down-to-earth person. I said, I love taking people hunting with me, and I love putting people on to the outdoors, whether they're black, white, whatever. I don't care. So he's going with me November 1st whenever we go, man. He the smile that popped up on his face, man, like, it just makes you feel good, man. And yeah, it was just cool that he recognized me, which was cool. But you can't afraid for somebody to tell you no. You're going to get, like, in this industry, man, especially, you know, trying to work with partners and sponsors and whatever, you're going to get 100 no's before you get that one yes. But once you get that yes, some people's going to find you, but you just got to stay true to yourself. Don't try to be nobody you're not. Don't worry about big name brands. Like you said, Sitka's and the Mossy Oaks, get what you can afford and get out there. That's all you got to do.
And just make sure that yes, if you do get a yes, that yes is aligned with your principles.
Right. You absolutely.
Know,
yeah.
You know, I'm talking to my guys and, you know, it's like, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, what are they? Who are they? Who you know, are you, they? You need to ask those questions, like, who are they? Are their principles aligned with what we are? You know, you don't want to align yourself with somebody that don't have the same values.
Right. You know,
not all money is good money.
Right.
So, you know, these kids these days, they have to be careful. I mean, for the most part, we're going to take care of them. So they have to, you know, they have to be careful, but just ask the question, you know, get turned out. You're going to, like you said, you're going to get turned out. I love saying no. I've got two teenage daughters. I tell them girls no all the time. You know, my favorite word, no. Yep. But when they get a yes, you know, and like my youngest, she never asks for anything. So she gets a lot of yeses. My oldest, oh man, I tell that little girl no all day long, you know. But she gets it, you know, that yes means a lot when it comes.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Know, and just for those people out there, just when you get that yes, man, respect the people that's taking you. Yes, right. Sir, no, sir, you know, leave the woods cleaner than they were when you found them. You know, if you go to somebody's camp, man, camp etiquette is you better take care of my camp better than you take care of my house, I can promise you. Because it's you know, man, camp etiquette goes a long way to getting that return trip. You know?
Absolutely. And, I bet. You know, yeah.
You've been there. And, you know, you see people come in somebody's camp and just ransacking and just leave it the way it's like, man, this cat ain't never coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but man, you know, be respectful to those people that give you those yeses, man, and look out for them. And, you know, it'll go a long way. They'll be friends for life. You know,
absolutely, man. So yeah, man. Like I said, I appreciate you coming on, man. I know you're busy man. So how can people get a hold of you through your social medias if they want to holler at you?
Well, if y'all want to holler at me, our social media, we have Yeah You Outdoors on Instagram and Facebook. My personal social media account for Instagram is Tony Robichaud on Instagram and Robishocky. Oh, I'm sorry, I said that all messed up. Tony Robichaud is Facebook. Robishocky is Instagram. So man, just hit us up there, man. And you know, if y'all in South Louisiana, hit us up, man. We'll love to go out hunting, fishing. Bull fishing, whatever y'all need to do, man, we can make it happen, bro.
That's what's up, man. God bless you. Hope he blesses you in multitudes with every desire that you ever want, man. Proud to see you out there in the outdoors knowing what you do, man. It's a pleasure and an honor just to see, you know, people like me and you out here doing something positive, man, and not, you know, out here selling dope or, you know, doing something negative, man. It's going to get us Absolutely. In trouble, man. So I think these youth, man, they're going to have somebody to look up to. I'm doing the best that I can on my end. I know you are for this next generation, man. So I really appreciate you, man. And if you ever need me for anything, my phone line is always open, man. Need anybody to talk to, shoulder to cry on, man, I'm always here for you, brother.
Appreciate it, man. You too, Sam, man. Just, you know, look us up, man. If you in town, I'll make a trip to Kentucky, I promise.
Hey, come on. I'm right in the middle of bourbon country.
That's it. Yeah, man, just, you know, hit us up, man. You know, I appreciate the opportunity to be on here with you, man, and it was fun. Pleasure. My pleasure.
Yep, absolutely, man. This is a wrap, guys. Mr. Tony Robichaud, hit him up. Yeah, You Outdoors. Be sure to, you know, follow him on all social media platforms, man. Make sure to give this episode a like on all platforms that you get your podcast, whether it be Apple, whether it be Google, whether it be Spotify, anything. Leave a review. Helps me out, man. But here we go. Big game, small game, all game. We do this too.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.